Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
And this morning I've got a quick little message that we're going to just talk about being a doer. If you would turn and tap your neighbor, or don't tap them, just tell them, be a doer, be a doer, be a doer. I said this in the first service, and I think all of the young people were at home sleeping, because I think there's a few more of them in this service, but there's a very good possibility that the young people might get a little bit rowdy with this message, because they've heard this, and you know, we really push our young people in the Surge on Friday nights. A selfless plug there, if you're not at a high school, please come to the Surge, it's amazing. But we push the young people because God always responds to a... Amen. Yeah, it's going to get a little rowdy this service. Amen. That's good. God always responds to a response. He always responds to a response. And this morning I want to talk about being a doer, because I firmly believe that we are a do-it generation. And I shared my heart in first service about how I've preached this message, I can't tell you how many times, to the young people about how they got to get out and they got to get their hands involved and they got to get in it and they got to begin to do it, because this is a do-it generation. And I believe that we've got to get up and do something. We got to get our hands in it. We got to be like Joshua and Caleb, that when they went to spy out the land, yeah, they saw the issues, yeah, they saw the problems, yeah, they saw the circumstances, but they were also willing to put their war boots on, because the kingdom, or the they were willing to get involved. Amen. They wanted to get involved. They wanted to go out and they wanted to get involved. They wanted to do something. The land belonged to them. God told them, that land belongs to you. That is your land. Go in there and drive out the inhabitants of your land. Indian River County belongs to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That means we got to begin to drive out the inhabitants in the land that are an enemy to our God. But we got to do something. Turn to your neighbor and tell him to be a doer. Be a doer. Be a doer. Because understand that if you're going to drive anything out, you've got to actually get involved. You know, this morning at 2:00 in the morning, I woke up out of a sound sleep. Don't worry, it wasn't like an angelic visitation or some amazing vision that I had. I was just really thirsty. My wife had the fan on high, and the back of my throat was just like, and I woke up, I'm so thirsty. And I said in my head, I said, God, just take it away so I could go back to sleep. Lord, I got to preach in the morning. It's 2:00 in the morning. Realized that my thirst didn't go away until I got out of bed and made a decision to go downstairs and get the cup of water, because there was no water on my bedside that night. So I had to physically get up and do something. I had to do something in order to quench my thirst. As much as I prayed to God, just take it away, I know I'm not the only one that has sit there and tossed and turned and debated. When you wake up in the middle of the night and you're really thirsty, you're like, well, I'm not that thirsty. I'll make it. If I could just go back to sleep, I'll make it till the morning. And that good old cup of coffee will quench my thirst. Well, it didn't. I had to do something. Last week, I threw out something, and I don't remember if it was in the 9:00 or the 11:00, so if you heard me throw this out, I'm going to harp on it a little longer this morning, and I hope that's okay. But I threw out this word is likened to a mirror. The word of God is likened to a mirror. James says to not be a hearer only of the word, but be a doer. And then he likens the word of God to a mirror. So as a mirror is to your physical appearance, to your physical being, the word of God should be the same to your spirit, to your spiritual being. So we liken the word of God to a mirror. And there's some interesting facts about a mirror. Because ultimately, you only go to a mirror for a reason. You only go look in a mirror with purpose. Even a narcissist who is only about me, myself, and I, when they go to a mirror, they still look in the mirror for a reason. Man, I'm looking beautiful. Hey. They still go to that same mirror for a reason. After I eat Chipotle, I find a mirror for a reason. Because you had better believe I have got cilantro all up in my grill. Pearly whites, more like dingy greens. So when I go to the mirror, I use the mirror for a reason, for a purpose, to see what is wrong with my face, so that I may fix my face. Because you know nobody's going to tell you, hey man, you got cilantro in your teeth. They're just going to laugh at you. Y'all wrong for that. Are you with me? Ladies, when you wake up in the morning and you go look in the mirror, you do it with purpose. Guys, when I wake up in the morning and I go look in the mirror, I do it with purpose. I need to see if the three hairs that are growing out of the top of my head are supernaturally longer than the rest of my hair. Anyone who struggles with hair loss, you know, there are always three that just seem to supernaturally grow at a high rate of speed. The rest of your hair grows at the same rate, but those three are like 3.5 foot long, sticking straight out the top like a unicorn. Praise the Lord for a mirror so I can fix my face. Oh, but the word of God is likened to a mirror. We look into that mirror, you know, we get them full-length mirrors. Ocean's Fit, people, where y'all at? And you look in that mirror. Oh. Does nobody else do that? I suck it in when I look in a mirror. Take the biggest breath I can. My chest gets big, my belly gets little, and I can only do it for so long. And then eventually reality sets in and but understand, and this is so good here, because I'm speaking in riddles this morning, so just, if you can, try to stay with me. Because understand, there are things that you see when you look into the mirror. Remember, the word of God is likened to a mirror for our spiritual being. So when we look into that mirror for our physical appearance, that cilantro in your teeth might just be a little bit of sin. That little extra 20 pounds that you're carrying might be that bitterness and offense that you decided to let into your heart. But ultimately, there are certain things that are easy to get rid of and some of things that are not. Because the cilantro is an easy fix. Are you with me? You could just... But that extra 20 pounds takes a commitment. The extra 20 pounds means you got to do something. See, to get rid of the cilantro, it's a quick fix. But there's no such thing as a get skinny quick pill. Because if there was, somebody would be a billionaire and we'd all look amazing. Is this truth or not? Because in order to lose weight, I don't care what crash diet is the new fad on social media. None of them work. The only thing that works is to really get your hands in it and begin to do something. You have got to begin to make a conscious decision that now I'm going to get right. Now I'm going to begin to lose weight. I'm going to go to the gym. I got to change my eating habits. I got to change who I hang around with. I can't hang out with those people that are eating cheesecake every night of the week because that's going to put that extra 20 pounds back on. I got to hang out with Pastor William because Pastor William be benching. Likened to a mirror. And the cilantro's easy, but the 20 pounds isn't. And some of us, when we look into the mirror, are you with me? You can see the things that are easy to fix, and we fix them. But some of those things that take a little bit more commitment, we got to be a doer. Turn to your neighbor and say, we got to be a doer. We got to be a doer. We got to be a do-it generation. We got to be a do-it generation. James 1:23. It says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Verse 24. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. It's just 20 pounds. It's just a fence. No big deal. I need to give this disclaimer. Because I am in no way, shape, or form, before we get any further into this word, I am in no way, shape, or form trying to make the statement that your works equate to your salvation. That is not my heart in this. Please hear that. Your works do not equate to your salvation. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid the price for your sins? If you say yes and you receive Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You are saved and you are going to heaven. This is not about works to make it to heaven. This is about getting up and doing something to see the kingdom of God expanded. This is about plundering hell and populating the kingdom of God. This is about seeing us be better than we were. Because I don't want to be in the same place that I was 5 years ago. When I got saved I don't even know how many years ago it is now. I'll have to sit down with my wonderful wife and figure that out because she's much better with numbers than I am. But whenever I got saved, I cannot stay the same. Matthew 28 says to go therefore and to make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said to go therefore and to make disciples. A disciple is a follower of Jesus. And as far as I can read throughout the New Testament, the disciples were continuously growing. They were continuously going further with God. They were continuously doing more exploits for God. They were doing more signs, miracles, and wonders everywhere that they went. They were growing. They didn't always do it right. We see that through Peter. Thank the Lord for Peter. I resonate with Peter. Me and me and Peter got this thing going on because I resonate with Peter. I understand Peter. But understand, they lived a lifestyle, as Pastor Harold calls it, of CPD, continuous personal development. And this is a mirror. And if I want to begin to look better than I did, I need to use the mirror. I need to allow the mirror to change me, but I gotta make a choice to do. Because I don't wanna be like a man who looks in the mirror and says, I got them dingy greens and the extra 20 pounds, and that's okay, and walk away. You know, what's interesting about the mirror, and I know this isn't the most shout-me-down message, it's okay. Have you guys ever heard of a fun house? I had to ask my wife for this in the first service because I tried to explain it and everybody looked at me funny because I didn't know the word for what I was trying to say. What did I kept saying? The bounce house or hot house or I don't know what I was saying. But a fun house. Do we know what a fun house is? Because you got to understand there is a true mirror and there is a false mirror. It's like a mirror. Because in a fun house, you walk into the fun house, and if you've never been, you walk into a fun house and you see the first one, and there's the image of you. Just you, yourself, and just exactly how you are. And then you walk to the next mirror, and now you're 2 foot shorter and 3 foot fatter. And then you walk to the next mirror, and now you're 6 inches taller and like 40 pounds lighter, and you've got huge biceps. And then you walk to the next mirror, and you've got long, luscious locks. No, I'm just kidding. That's my fun house. But watch this. Man has got a funny way of twisting and contorting and perverting the truth so that you don't see what you're really supposed to see. Really, all you do is see something that appeases you for the moment. It's as a mirror. You got to make sure that you're in a place where you're getting the truth of the Word of God. Because when the truth comes at you, you got a choice to do. Whoa. Y'all are a lot more awake, and I really appreciate that because first service just stared at me. You're making this a lot easier for me. I don't want a mirror that makes me look right for the moment, but then when I step out into the real world, I begin to realize that I'm a lot uglier than I was. I want a mirror that's going to show me what's really wrong with me so I can really fix it. I want a mirror that's going to show me what I can really do for the people around me. Because watch this, this mirror is twofold. Because being a doer is being a doer for yourself and allowing this to transform you from the inside out. But this is also there so that you can come alongside your brother and grab him by the arm and say, come on, man, I got you. I'm not going to leave you in the battlefield. I'm going to get you up every time. And I know they've whipped you, and I know they beat you, and I know they told you was no good, but let me come alongside you because you're not just a decision. You're a disciple. Because it's real easy to give lip service to get a decision. We got to stop getting decisions in our schools and start getting disciples. Because discipling is an action. In order to disciple, you have got to do something. The world is sick and tired. We are all sick and tired of flippant funhouse Christianity that appeases you for the day and sets you up for failure the rest of your week. I want a true mirror that shows me the right and the wrong and the ways that I should go, so that in a year from now, when I look into that mirror, I still may see imperfections, and that's okay, because I'll never achieve perfection. But you know what? When I look in that mirror, I look a whole lot better then than I did when I first got saved. Because ladies, when you get up in the morning, okay, guys, when you get up in the morning, back in the day, I used to have hair. For those of you that have been here for a minute, I had a ponytail. I sure did. I looked just like Alex Davidson, man bun and all. It was a little thinner on the top. That's when I decided, when I slicked it back and I had like three strips of long hair and you could just see a bald spot through the hair, that's when I decided to cut it. But at one point I had long hair and realized I would go to bed and I would wake up the next morning and I had a flat spot on one side, and on the other side it was sticking out my head about 6 inches. You're laughing because it's happened to you. But realize, when I first looked in the mirror, I saw the flaw, but I had to make a decision. I had to choose to respond and not go to Walmart looking like a hot mess, but put some gel in my hair and get that old nasty mop swept back so that I looked better after. But ultimately, you have to respond. Everything in our life boils down to a response. You have to respond. Remember, you only go to the mirror for a purpose. When you look into the mirror, you're looking into the mirror for a reason, for a purpose. You're looking for something. But ultimately, you have to choose to respond to the something when it looks back at you. I ask you this morning, when you look into your mirror, do you enjoy what is looking back at you? And how do we respond? Because our response will always dictate the response. Your response will always dictate a response. Understand, there is something fighting for a response from you 7 days a week. If you don't believe me, please go on Facebook and scroll until you get offended. Some of us, it may be 2 swipes, and other people, it may be an hour. I don't know where you're at, so there's no judgment there, but realize the minute you go and you get in the comment section because you didn't like what they said about your president, I don't care which side of the fence you're on. I'm just using it as an example to realize that something is always drawing for a response. Young people on tic-tac-toe, when they do their silly little dances, they're trying to get you to respond. They're trying to get you to like or to comment or to share. Something is searching for a response. Can I say this morning that God is looking for a response? Why do we appease the devil and respond to all of his silly stuff? I want to respond to the mirror. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the holiest one of all? Only you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. My God, thank you. I'm not where I want to be, but God, I ain't where I was. Okay, I should open up my notes. That was just the foundation. Amen. I didn't spill it on the mic. Somebody say amen. Watch this. As a doer, we have 3 decisions we have to make. First of all, we need to make the decision to be wise. An unwise person despises, a foolish person despises wisdom. Wisdom will allow you to be taught. It keeps you teachable. It keeps you, we talked about this last week. A humble spirit is a teachable spirit. It's a spirit that can receive. in order for us to really look into the mirror and be translated into the image that God has originally called us to be, we have to be wise enough to realize that this is ultimately the truth. Young ladies, you will not find what makes you pretty on social media. Can I stay there for just a minute? Because let me tell you something, what the world calls pretty has changed every single day of the week. If you don't believe me, please go and ask your grandmother, because she will tell you what was considered pretty back in the 50s is nowhere near what it looks like today. What was considered indecent back in the 60s is nowhere near. We got to be wise and realize that this is what's going to change us. Not a social media standard, not a political standard, not even a religious standpoint, because religion will only bring death. This is not religion, by the way. This is a life-giving, life-breathing, Ruach-inspired word of God. It's a mirror that will change me from the inside, but I gotta be wise enough to catch that. Point number two, we have a responsibility. As a doer, you've gotta be responsible. Somebody say, I'm a doer. That means that you've gotta be responsible. That was a holy setup. We have a responsibility. Again, Matthew 28 says, all authority has been given unto me. Go therefore and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. There are people around you that are going to hell. You have a responsibility. There are people that you can touch that I will never get to speak to. There is a responsibility. There is a burden for us to go out and lay hands on the sick and see them recover. There is a responsibility. There is a burden on the body of Christ in this day and age to preach the truth, not a funhouse Christianity word that makes them feel good for the moment. We got a responsibility to give our young people the truth, what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. We got a responsibility to give our families what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And third, we have to be willing. And many of us are very willing to get the cilantro out of our teeth, but we are not willing to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to the gym. We are not willing to give up the cheesecake. We are not willing to change our diet. We are not willing. I have a right to be offended. You're right, and offense is a choice. So you chose it. Lie in that bed. I'm sorry, that was a little bit abrasive. I repent. I apologize. It just slipped. I'm sorry. Hear my heart. But offense is a choice. Bitterness is a choice. You choose to stay in that place. You don't have to. And so many of us like to choose that because it's our crutch that allows us to justify our actions. I'll leave that one right where I left it, but we have to be willing. We have to be willing to choose. We have to be willing to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and walk downstairs to get the cup of water because we're thirsty. We have to be willing to allow this to be the mirror in our life that changes us from the inside out. We have to be willing to go up in the morning and wake up and say, God, who are you going to show me today? We have to be willing to get past, God, fix me, help me, change me into, God, how can I help you? God, how can I help the church? God, how can I become an asset to the kingdom of God and not a burden? The mindset has got to change. The frame has got to change, because so many times we come week after week after week after week, and we've been Christians for 15 years and we're still dealing with the same piece of cilantro. Brother or sister, get that piece of cilantro out so that you can help somebody else. As a mirror, we got to be a doer. We got to get up and begin to do something. It's youth pastor thing. I'm a lot crazier with it at youth. You gotta get up and okay. Is it true? I'm very animated at youth, and it is a lot of fun. Guess what? We cannot keep getting upset with God because we looked into this mirror and we saw the cilantro and we saw the 20 extra pounds, but we decided to respond in a way where we did not make a choice to fix it, and then we get mad at God and point the finger at Him because we didn't see the results that we wanted. I know there's people in here that have tried that crash diet and you didn't follow the rules 100% and you said, you know, it'll be all right. I'll just have a little bit of whatever on keto. It won't affect it that much. And then you get upset. Keto doesn't work. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? You can't get upset at God. You can't get upset at the man of God. You can't get upset at the mirror that you're looking into if you decide to choose incorrectly or not choose at all. Amen? We got a choice to make. We got a part to play. We got to get up and do something. Elijah and Elisha. Elisha had to make a choice. Noah in the ark. A word came to Noah, you're going to build an ark, and then in 40 days, and this and that and the other, and all the plants, and two of every kind, and you're going to da 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 da. Listen, I've got a boat in my driveway. It's only 20 foot long. I've been working on it for 3 months. I barely got the transom done. It's the back of the boat. Sorry. Somebody went like this. Okay. It's what the motor hangs on. Realize we have this image in our head. We have this perception in our heads because of Sunday school. And I love Sunday school, but we have this perception that Noah built the ark in like 7 days. There is no way. That's a big boat. Two of every kind. My boat's only 20 foot long. I couldn't put a single elephant on my boat. I'd be lucky with a hog and two canaries. Noah gets up in the morning. Hey, babe, eats his breakfast. Where are you going? I'm going to work. What are you doing today at work? I'm building a boat. Okay. 7 days later, hey, babe, what are you doing today? I'm building a boat. A month later, hey, babe, I'm building a boat. A year later, hey, babe, I'm building a boat. 2 years later, hey, babe, I'm building a boat. At some point, you got to realize, babe has got to look at Noah and go, honey, there ain't been no rain. There's no rain coming. When are you going to stop with this facade of building this boat? But he had to obey. He had to get his hands in it. He had to do something and believe. He had to believe that that word that God gave him was going to come to fruition. And if he didn't get his hands in it and build that boat, Abraham and Sarah. Let's talk about it for a minute. Somebody say they had to do something. I'm going to leave it. The promise came. They tried to do it on their own understanding. And he said, no, here, take my maidservant because I ain't fit for this. They did something wrong. And then, you know, the angel comes and speaks to him and kind of rebukes him. And says, Sarah, why are you laughing? You're the one who's really supposed to be pregnant. Are you with me? Ultimately, after that point, the word of God says that Sarah was at 100 years old. They still had to do something for that word that God promised them, where he said that I would make your descendants as the stars of the sky and out of your loins would come a son. He had to stand on the word and make a decision to do something. I wonder how many people in this place have been called to be nation shakers, history makers. But I'm calling you this morning to stand up onto your feet and begin to do something, because you will not change a nation. You will not change the world around you. You will not change your family around you if you don't choose to respond to the word of God that has been spoken over your life. And it goes beyond our own sin. And I know this message can speak to our own sinful nature, but I believe it's twofold. Because I don't want us to focus on our sin forever, because I want you to begin to focus on what God has called you to do. Did Jeremiah not hear from the Lord when he said, I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. I have called you long before you were formed in your mother's womb. Mamas, Your babies have a destiny and a purpose and a calling. And it's not to be a heathen. Somebody say amen. That young boy is supposed to be an evangelist. He's supposed to be a preacher. He's supposed to be a nation shaker. He's supposed to prophesy to the nations. But you gotta choose to do something. We gotta choose. We gotta choose to do something. Wow. Okay. I've got to choose to move a little faster. Okay, real quick. And then I'll get off the mirror thing and we'll get into the rest of it in 7 minutes. Just as this mirror shows us our imperfections, and I think this is so beautiful. It shows us our imperfections. It also shows us our progress. And as you read the word, or as the word is preached, it should encourage you, because you're not where you used to be. You're not where you used to be. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I thank you, my God, that I am not being conformed to this world, as it says in Romans, but I am being transformed by the renewing of my mind. And yes, Lord, I will present my body as a living sacrifice, because it is my reasonable service. I got a responsibility to do something. I gotta get involved. I gotta make a decision that I'm gonna do this. We can't go back. 1 Peter 1:22-25, it says, since you have purified your souls in obeying truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. 3 points. We have to obey the truth. Understand that if you have a child that is obedient, parents, the only way that you can say that that child is obedient is if you give a command. The child then hears the command, listens to the command, and then makes an action, makes a choice to respond to the command that was given to you as the authoritative figure in your life. When they begin to do what you ask them to do, you call them obedient. Can I tell you, this is the authoritative figure in our lives? And when that word goes forth, we need to choose to obey the truth. This is the word of God. We have to stay in it. We have to abide in it. And we have to obey it. Obey is an action. We got to do something. We got to follow through. No more funhouse Christianity. Point number two is through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. It says obeying the truth through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. We have spoken about this in depth here in this house, so I'm not going to stay on this too terribly long. But you have to understand, spiritually things are spiritually discerned. If I really want to grasp the fullness of this wonderful book, I have to discern this spiritually. That means I have to discern this in the Spirit. I have to be in the Spirit. The Word of God says that those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Sons of God speaks of maturity. I don't want to be a baby or an infant Christian any longer. I want to grow and mature in the things of the Lord and become a son of God. I want to be mature of the things in the Word of God. But in order to do that, are you with me? I gotta stick with it. I gotta follow through on it. And I have to be in the Spirit. Because if I try to understand this word and I try to make decisions in my life, or decisions concerning discipling someone around me, if I'm trying to walk a road with someone around me and I do it in my flesh, understand, my flesh only wants to do one thing: to appease the flesh. When you set a cheesecake in front of me, the first thing my flesh says is, oh, I'm so hungry. Eat me. because the flesh only wants to appease the flesh. I can assure you, your flesh does not want to appease the spirit, and your spirit does not want to appease your flesh. So if I want to obey the truth of the word of God, I have to do it in the spirit. And it doesn't always feel nice. My last point, and then I'm going to close. It says to love one another fervently, with a pure heart. My goodness, I can't talk this morning. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. This is one of the main commandments that Jesus gave us. In John 13:34-35, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. They will know that you are one of his disciples because you love one another. They will not know that you are one of his disciples because you are the most anointed thing since the olive oil bottle. They will not know that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ because you cast out demons. They will not know that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ because you lay hands on the sick and they recover. They will not know that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ because you prophesy accurately. News check, news flash, the devil can also prophesy accurately. It's in the Word. The Word says that you will be differentiated from the world, and they will know that you are truly a disciple because you are motivated by love. Now let me help you, because when you are motivated by love, you will preach the gospel to the poor. When you are motivated by love, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. When you are motivated by love, you will begin to prophesy. When you are motivated by love, you will cast the devil out of somebody. When you are motivated by love, it will give you a compassion for the people of God. Because there's somebody around you that's not going where you're going when the end of the day is near. When the sand runs out in the flask, you're going to be there on in glory, walking on streets of gold in your awesome mansion. Praise the Lord, because you got a mansion in heaven, but that person sitting next to you might not be. My God, we got to do something. We got to do something. We got to get our hands in it. Would you turn to your neighbor and tell him, I got to be a doer. I got to be a doer. I got to be a doer. I can't go back to the old ways. I can't go back to the old me. I can't stay the same. I can't come to church week after week after week after week and be the same person every single week and never make a decision to change. Because in order for a decision to take place, I've got to put my money where my mouth is. That's what I was trying to say. In my head, it goes a lot better. Listen, if y'all could see what goes on in my head, if nothing else, the joy of the Lord would be your strength, amen? We've got to make a decision to do something. We've got to make a decision to do something. And let love be your motive. Let love be the thing that causes you to do. Because love is not a word. Love is not an emotion. Love is not a feeling. Love is an action. The world is sick and tired. The church is sick and tired of funhouse Christianity. We got to put love in action. Because when you put love in action, you see people differently. Because in our own flesh, remember, the flesh only seeks to feed the flesh. But when you do it out of a place of love, you look at somebody completely different. Before, you would have looked at them and judged them because you thought they didn't look good, or their hair was unruly, or maybe they looked like they crawled out from underneath of a bridge. But whenever you look at them through the eyes of love, you will look at them and see the purpose and the destiny that God has called them to be. You will look at them through the eyes of Jesus and not through your own flesh. We got to get up and begin to do something. My God, I thank you this morning. I thank you for this word. I thank you for this mirror. I thank you, Father, because in this word, you change me daily. I thank you, my God, that I am not where I was. And Father, I am continuing daily to go to where you have called me to be. Lord, I pray this morning in the name of Jesus that you would cause your people in this region to begin to do something. something. Father, I pray that this word would be a call to action. Father, that we would not let those who are around us go on to hell, but Father, that we would be that person that goes into the enemy's camp and takes back what rightfully belongs to you. For Lord, you promised us this region, and I stand this morning and I declare and decree we are going to walk into the enemy's camp and take back what's rightfully ours. We will plunder hell and populate kingdom. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, let a fiery boldness come upon your people this morning in Jesus' name to begin to get up and get out and do something for you. Father, I love you. Holy Spirit, I love you so much. Jesus, I love you. Thank you. I give you the praise and all of the honor and all of the glory, because it's only because of you. The city belongs to you. We put our war boots on this morning and we take it back for you. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, and all of God's people agreed and said, amen and amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.